Three bullets shattered the evening calm of New Delhi on January 30, 1948. Mohandas K. Gandhi, the man who freed India without an army, fell to the ground whispering, "He Rama, O God." The world stopped. UN Security Council members paused mid-debate. George Marshall called him the spokesman for the conscience of humanity. Here was a man who owned nothing, yet moved millions. A lawyer who couldn't speak in court became history's most powerful voice for nonviolence. His methods would later inspire Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, and the Dalai Lama. But how did this shy, mediocre student transform into the Mahatma, the great soul? The answer lies not in what he achieved, but in how he remade himself, proving that moral conviction can indeed bend the arc of history. Gandhi's beginnings were strikingly ordinary. Born in 1869 in coastal Porbandar, young Mohandas struggled with multiplication and feared everything — thieves, ghosts, snakes, even darkness. His incorruptible father served as prime minister to small kingdoms, while his devout mother fasted regularly and never ate without prayer. At 13, Gandhi entered an arranged marriage with Kasturbai, immediately becoming a controlling, jealous husband. The teenage Gandhi envied his physically strong Muslim friend so intensely that he secretly ate meat for a year, convinced this explained his friend's courage. When his father died in 1885, the family decided Gandhi should study law in England. Before leaving, he vowed to a Jain monk to abstain from wine, women, and meat. In London, he bought fashionable clothes and took dance and violin lessons, efforts that quickly faded. Yet something profound was stirring. Having traversed the Sahara of atheism, he emerged thirsting for religion. The New Testament delighted him, especially the Sermon on the Mount. The Bhagavad Gita became his spiritual reference book. After being called to the bar in 1891, he sailed for India, his true personality still dormant. Enormous reserves of willpower and devotion remained untapped until public service awakened them. Gandhi's legal career in India began disastrously. Too shy to speak in court, he failed for nearly 2 years before accepting work in South Africa for a Muslim firm. This decision would alter history. Shortly after arriving, Gandhi was thrown off a train at Peter Maritzburg Station for refusing to leave first class despite having a valid ticket. "The shock of this incident," he wrote, "changed the course of my entire life. One moment of humiliation became the catalyst for freeing a nation." A week later, Gandhi delivered his first public speech in Pretoria about white discrimination. His zeal dissolved his shyness. Remarkably, he urged listeners not only to fight discrimination, but also to improve themselves. Tell the truth in business, adopt hygienic habits, forget caste differences, learn English. This focus on human development, rather than purely political ends, would define his leadership. In South Africa, Indians faced restrictive laws, carrying passes after 9 p.m., property ownership prohibitions, residence restrictions. During these years, Gandhi revealed unbreakable energy, inexhaustible capacity for indignation, and a gift for forming relationships with both the humble and the powerful. In South Africa, Gandhi wore European suits and earned $25,000 to $30,000 annually, yet beneath this exterior, a profound transformation was underway. Despite his violent temperament, he achieved remarkable self-mastery through disciplined control, a second birth within a single lifetime. This transformation began with material renunciation. In 1901, when presented with jewels for Kasturbai, he spent a sleepless night torn between security and freedom. Despite her protests, he surrendered the gifts, creating a fund for South African Indians. Henry S. L. Pollock's loan of John Ruskin's Unto This Last proved pivotal. Gandhi read through the night, calling it the turning point of my life. He immediately established a community on 100 acres near Phoenix, Natal, an experiment in simple living where everyone helped print his magazine and cultivate fruit trees. Gandhi began fasting and eating frugal meals of nuts and fruits without spices. In 1906, at 37, he embraced lifelong celibacy with Kasturbai's agreement. Brahmacharya became comprehensive spiritual discipline, control of all senses at all times, everywhere, in thought, words, and action. Through renunciation, Gandhi found liberation. Rising above material concerns freed him to work decisively for his ideals. Once Indians recognized his selflessness, they surrounded him with unbridled devotion.
"Men say I am a saint, losing myself in politics," Gandhi observed. "The fact is, I am a politician, trying my hardest to be a saint." His politics were moral. His religion was active in the world's struggles. Gandhi developed Satyagraha, Satya, truth, the equivalent of love, plus agraha, firmness or force, equals soul force. The vindication of truth not by inflicting suffering on the opponent, but on one's own self. Winning by suffering yourself rather than making others suffer. When the Transvaal government required all Indians over 8 to register and be fingerprinted, Gandhi led 3,000 people in pledging defiance. Sentenced to 2 months in prison, he cooked, performed hard labor, and cleaned toilets. "The true path to happiness," he wrote, "is to go to prison and there endure sufferings in the interest of one's own country and religion." After years of struggle, Satyagraha achieved victory in 1914 with the Indian Relief Act. Gandhi sent General Smuts sandals he'd made in prison. Smuts wore them until 1939, returning them with, "I have worn these sandals for many summers, though I feel I am not worthy to stand in the shoes of so great a man." Gandhi had won Smuts himself. In India, crowds shouted, "Mahatmaji, Mahatmaji," a title meaning great soul bestowed by poet Rabindranath Tagore. Gandhi sought psychological transformation first. With over 80% of Indians living in villages, poor, illiterate, sick, discouraged, he desired inner freedom before outer freedom. In 1916, he established his ashram in Sabarmati, low, white-painted huts amid leafy trees. Rooting himself in India's soul and soul, he gained full vigor. Gandhi's first action against British imperialism followed World War I when the Rowlatt Acts extended wartime restrictions. He organized a hartal, complete suspension of economic activity. Violence culminated in Amritsar, where Brigadier General Reginald Dyer ordered troops to fire on an unarmed crowd on April 13, 1919, killing approximately 379 people. Gandhi responded with non-cooperation, boycott of British goods, honors, courts, and schools. For 7 months, he traveled rural areas, speaking to massive crowds. When listeners applauded rejecting foreign clothes, he had them pile imported items and set them aflame, urging everyone to spin their own cloth. When violence erupted in Chori Chora, a crowd burning 22 policemen alive, Gandhi immediately suspended all disobedience nationwide. "Let the opponent glory in our humiliation," he declared. "It is better to be charged with cowardice than to sin against God." On March 10, 1922, he was arrested and sentenced to 6 years. Gandhi's fasts spoke when words failed. In 1932, he fasted unto death against Britain's separate electorates for untouchables, which he saw as deepening divisions. News spread. "The Mahatma is fasting because we Hindus treat untouchables badly." Within days, famous temples opened to untouchables for the first time in millennia. Roads opened, villages allowed access to common wells. The epic fast broke a chain stretching back into antiquity. As independence approached, Gandhi fought partition. When India gained independence on August 15, 1947, he refused to celebrate. He was in Calcutta, fighting riots as 15 million people migrated across new borders. In January 1948, Gandhi undertook his final fast, directed at the conscience of all. On the sixth day, 100 religious representatives presented a peace pact. Gandhi ended the fast with interfaith prayers. On January 30, 1948, arriving late to prayers, Gandhi climbed the steps while faithful bowed at his feet. Nathuram Godse fired 3 shots. "Oh God," Gandhi murmured before falling dead. His legacy is courage, his lesson truth, His weapon, love. In a world worshiping power, Gandhi proved one person armed with moral conviction can move mountains. The greatest weapon ever created wasn't nuclear. It was a frail man who chose love over hate, suffering over violence, truth over comfort. That weapon remains available to anyone brave enough to pick it up.